The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
And you're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour here on Off the Ball, available on our social channels as well. You can get in touch at Twitter at Off the Ball, on YouTube, on Facebook. We're streaming live right now, also on the Go Loud app. John Duggan with you to talk about football, the beautiful game, in the company of two real football men, Enda Cole and Philip Egan. Four Premier League games this weekend, lads. We got Everton, Palace, Brighton, Watford, Sheffield United, Bournemouth and Manchester City against West Ham because of a winter break. Do you in favour of a winter break?
Yeah, I think I am, but I think it's come too late.
May I put it to you there?
I think it's come too late. So I think the pressure point is just before the third round of the FA Cup, and that's why you saw so many managers fielding second string teams for the FA Cup. And some got away with it, some didn't. But you can see now the knock-on effect is the likes of Raheem Sterling, Sadio Mane have played one too many games and they got caught out. They picked up hamstring injuries, muscle injuries, which is what happens. Now, the flip side of it is the teams in the Champions League, this actually could help them because they will have a bit of a rest and then they can go full tilt into the Champions League.
Andy?
It's a bit of a cop-out from the Premier League having it just 1 week and continuing to play games during it. I think if the rest of the major leagues in Europe can do it, then there's no reason why the Premier League can't do it. It's completely down to TV schedules and money making, and it's taken away from the games ultimately, because you can have all the games you want over Christmas and in January, but if the games aren't off quality, then eventually people are going to start to lose their appeal.
If you had a winter break, where would you go?
Sun.
Right now.
Sunshine.
Where?
Definitely sunshine. Where's the hottest place in Europe right now? Somewhere like... You're looking at the probably, Canaries, are you?
Yeah, at this stage of the year, you're probably still looking a bit east.
The Azores.
Even down as far as Turkey. Turkey, probably not the greatest place on the world to go at the minute.
Tourism, the minute. Industry.
I'd probably go... See, you're looking at jet lag as well. If you only have a week, you want to stay local enough. I can see why the Middle East is a likely resort. I wouldn't like to go to the Middle East, basically, just because of the human rights abuses within the countries in it.
He's got principles, this man.
I don't know. I'd say I don't know how I feel about those.
Donegal or bust, is it?
Donegal or bust. I'd probably go South America if I could afford jet lag.
Firmino's gone Maldives. Alisson, the Liverpool keeper, has gone back to Brazil to train. So he's just, because he obviously missed a lot of the season, so he's gone back to train and make sure he's sharp for the rest of the season. But most of the players seem to have kind of definitely hit the sunshine. You're not going to be going on a ski trip.
I would probably expect a bounce from Aguero after his winter break, because I think his family lives in South America, and some of the times when he's off form, a lot of the time people put it down to the fact that he's a bit homesick and he misses his family because they live in Brazil. So it's tough enough in Argentina, and it's actually tough enough for him the fact that they live so far away. So
home cooked, like Argentina does lovely steak. Maybe he's just missing that.
A week is just not enough, though. If I'd love to go to Hawaii, but if by the time I got to Hawaii and came back, my winter break would be over. Yeah. I wouldn't even spend. I'd probably just spend time at the airport. So Italy probably be the place I go to. Remember, our football coverage brought to you with thanks to Paddy Power. For more information on responsible gambling, visit dunlewy.net. We don't want you to gamble more than you can afford. And remember about our ACCA insurance offer. Money back is a free bet if one leg of your fourfold same game multi lets you down. Terms and conditions applying to top UK, Irish, Euro and senior international football. Max free bet of €10 per day. Terms and conditions apply. We'll get to Paddy Power special odds towards the end of the show. But Everton against Crystal Palace in the Premier League starting tomorrow from 12:30. The odds for Paddy Power in this one: Everton odds on 13-8 on the draw, 11-4. Crystal Palace 9-2. Carlo Ancelotti, have Everton landed a massive coup with the acquisition of Carlo Ancelotti, or is he yesterday's man?
I don't think he's yesterday's man. I think in terms of his profile and the name, I think Everton fans were quite happy that they could attract someone of Ancelotti's stature, a guy that's won the Champions League, he's won league titles in several countries. Time will tell, and recruitment. If Everton recruit well, then they can kick on under Ancelotti. Obviously, there's been an impact since he's come in. The only really disappointing result since he's been there is the Liverpool one in the cup. And Everton are just, there's a hoodoo when it comes to the Merseyside derby for them. But what was encouraging last week was they came from 2-0 down. Even with 10 men for the last 20 minutes, they still pushed. They still went to try and get a winner, and that's all you can ask. And like they were in relegation trouble when Marco Silva was sacked. Now they're thinking of European football.
One defeat in their last 10 games since Silva left. And is Ancelotti more relevant in the game now than Mourinho is?
The Mourinho...
Do you know what I'm saying here, from a yesterday's man stylistically point of view, relevance?
Yeah, look, I don't necessarily agree that either are yesterday's man, because they're both proven winners. I know the game has evolved to a stage where maybe we think that these guys don't have the tactical nous to keep up, but these guys know how to win. And I think Ancelotti's actually gotten a bit luckier than Jose Mourinho has with Tottenham, in the fact that Everton, their goal was to avoid relegation and maybe push for Europe. And the way that the Premier League has kind of set out this year is that 4 or 5 wins on the trot and you're back from a relegation battle up into the European fight, and Southampton are another proof of that as well. So that's, he has them back up to where Everton probably would have liked to be at this stage of the season, and probably where they want to be at the end of the season. So he, whereas Jose Mourinho has to fight for top four for Tottenham from a much weaker position, in my opinion. I think Ancelotti's probably proven it a bit more recently in the Champions League with Napoli and fighting for the Serie A title. But again, he didn't really win anything at Napoli, so it's hard to know where he stands against. It's a hard comparison to make, really, for me.
Yeah, like, they're such different personalities. Obviously, Mourinho is in the headlines all the time. Ancelotti, we haven't heard much from him, actually, since he's gone in. Everton have obviously improved on the pitch, but you don't see Ancelotti in the headlines that much. I can remember him being in the headlines when they had the club AGM, where he just said, we need patience here. So he's right, they do need patience, but they have to get their recruitment right in the summer, and they have to hold on to their best players, which Richarlison, there was talk of Barcelona, whatever or however realistic or that was, players like Richarlison, they have to hold on to, and they build the team around it. But even the football has improved. Marco Silva, I never really knew what he was trying to achieve. Obviously, when Duncan Ferguson took over temporarily, it was very much up and at him and fire in the belly. Ancelotti's come in now, and you can see that, you know, they're passing the ball around a bit. And he's not afraid to tweak things tactically. He is good tactically. And
he's won 2 Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
He's won, like, Serie A. He was a player who won at the top level.
And well, that's the difference between himself and Marco Silva, is that there was a bit of apparently there was a bit of a row in the dressing room after one of the games with the senior players and Duncan Ferguson, and apparently the senior players were saying that the Ancelotti tactics were holding them back. He has the trophies, the experience to back up what he's doing. He can turn around to these Everton players and say,
Who
are you? Yeah. I've won all these trophies. What have you won? Nothing. Marco Silva didn't have that in his locker. And it's always something that's thrown at Jose Mourinho, whereas he's one of these managers who didn't play football properly, but he has the trophies to back it up. And it's something that Marco Silva didn't have. Ancelotti has it. He has those trophies. So he can demand the respect of the players, whether they like what he's doing or not.
And he's a very good man manager. And one thing with Jose Mourinho is, when you're in his, like, you're one of his favourites, he comes across as a great man manager. But if he doesn't like you, he won't be...
Well, look, Danny Rose has gone, hasn't he?
Yeah, he won't.
And Lo Celso has been lauded every single game. Funnily enough, the Everton are a strange club. They seem to have unlimited money with Moshiri and Usmanov now going in there with the stadium and that. There's a strange dynamic there at Everton. When they make that move, I do think it's a bit of a coup. It's funny that James McCarthy's going back there. Do you think he'll have a point to prove?
Do you know what? I don't think he can have too many complaints with the way things worked out at Everton, because he was just plagued with injuries. And he's starting to get a run in the Palace team, and it's great to see. And people might be wondering, should he be in the Ireland squad? He doesn't want to be, because he needs to just get back playing football. He has missed so much football over the last few years because of injuries. So if he goes off and plays international football and picks up an injury, he's back to square one. And, you know, he's not getting... He's still quite young, but, you know, he's making up for lost time. And he is actually... I know the City game, they got a 2-2 draw at the Etihad. He had a key role in the equalising goal. And, you know, the fact that Roy Hodgson is playing him week in, week out now, he obviously believes he deserves his place in the team, which is great. But I just don't think he'll get into the Ireland squad. And it's... I can see his point. Just, you know, bread and butter is just playing football. maybe in a year's time, if he has a year's club football under his belt, he might revisit it.
But Stephen Kenny, I wonder would he be a Stephen Kenny player? 22 goals, they only scored in the Premier League end of the season, Crystal Palace. What we're looking at, what, 7 games in their last all competitions, they haven't won a game. Wilfred Zaha is a brilliant player, but on 30 points, are they safe or are they not safe?
I think they're safe. They've got the quality there. They've just hit a kind of a bumpy patch along the road, which all teams tend to do if you're a mid-table to a lower table side. Crystal Palace have been, we've spoken about them multiple times in the show. When they're on it, they're a very good side. So they're only 10 points away from the magic 40 number. I actually don't think 40 will be enough to keep teams completely safe in the Premier League this year, just because it's just so tight at the minute that a couple of wins will bring teams right back into a relegation fight. So it's going to be tough for them, but I do think they have the quality. And Hodgson, he knows how to drag out results. He knows how to get the teams. If he needs to play 5 in midfield, he'll play 5 in midfield. I don't think they'll need to do that against Everton this week. It's going to be tight. I think this game's going to be a draw, a fairly boring one at that.
And the call has called it 11-4, a draw here on the Paddy Power half hour. Anton Chigurh, No Country for All Men, one of my favourite films, The Coen Brothers. He always said, call it, Phil, call it, Everton Palace.
I think Everton will sneak it. I just think that because Palace don't score enough goals, if all Everton have to really worry about is can they break down a very well-organised Palace team. And I think they'll be buzzing after the win against Watford last week where they scored 3 goals as well. So I think I'd be looking at Everton to get the 3 points.
5:30 kick-off tomorrow with this winter break. We got Brighton and Watford at the Amex. Brighton 11-10 with Paddy Power, 12-5 the draw. 5-2 the away win for the Hornets. The Nigel Pearson revolution has stalled, and a call. Any chance of getting back on track?
This is a perfect opportunity for that. This is actually going to be, hopefully, quite a good game because both sides have been quite attacking this year. Brighton have struggled really badly in the last couple of weeks. I suppose if you want to look at last week's result as an example of where these two teams are at, with Brighton fighting back from 2-0 down to draw 3-3 against West Ham, Watford went the other way. They were 2-0 up and let that lead slip. So they've got a couple of bad injuries at the minute, Watford. Losing Sarr was a really bad thing for them this year, especially because he was coming into for a bit of form and then he got injured. So it's hard for them to keep up with the chaotic structure of the Premier League this year. I think Watford have the quality to beat this Brighton side. Brighton really open at the back, not scoring enough goals, but they did bring in that man again, Glenn Murray. So he might be the difference in this game.
It's funny that they've had no wins as well in 7. I was at the game against Palace before Christmas, Phil. I thought they were very tidy. Yeah. Your double was there, Aaron Moy. I don't know what you're about, or Robin or Moy. You don't mind this as
don't
well.
Mind,
you,
I
don't
mean.
Mind, you don't mind yeah. this. You don't mind this. You know, Phil is one of my best colleagues in work. But Moy's a good player. But it's funny that Graham Potter, they've really invested in this guy. Graham Potter, he's going to be the guy. These long contracts. But if you're in the Championship, it's not going to do you any good. Are they in danger going to the Championship?
Absolutely, yeah. They're not scoring enough goals. And when I look at the team, I actually think Glenn Murray coming back in is a good thing. He might be 36, but he has scored goals in the Premier League. Now, what you need to do is play somebody up front with him, whether it's Mopay or it's Aaron Connolly. And when I look at the Brighton team, any time I've watched them this season, they do hold on to the ball. They pass it around nicely. But they don't have that electrifying pace that other teams might have. So someone like Mopay or Connolly could give them that little spark in attack. And like from an Irish point of view, obviously you want to see Aaron Connolly play. I don't particularly like watching Connolly play through the centre as the main striker. So if you have Murray there, you can play Connolly. You can play a 4-4-2, but you can say to Connolly, you can pull out wide.
Put in the hole.
And find space and use your pace and your creativity. But yeah, it's all been a bit easier on the eye, but here they find themselves in a similar position to last season, which, you know, they just about survived.
We also have on Sunday a couple of matches in the Premier League. We've got Sheffield United against Bournemouth. Paddy Power odds for this one. Sheffield United 6-4 on at home, 5-2 the draw. Bournemouth 9-2, 4.5-1. it seems like Eddie Howe, the kind of the sheen was dripping off him in a positive way, and then it just went very, very badly, and people were like almost comparing him, like, it's like Joe Schmidt, but people with their short memories. But he's got a couple of wins under his belt against Brighton and Aston Villa. Are they good enough to stay up? If I was Eddie Howe, if they do stay up, I'd be dropping the mic and getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, they've flirted with this kind of form over the last couple of years. This is probably the worst it's got for them. I think that's down to injuries more than anything. A massive thing for them now is getting Nathan Ake back onto the pitch, and I think he's going to play a key role in keeping them up this year. If they lose this game, or sorry, going into this game, if Watford have won the game on Saturday, Bournemouth has to go into this game knowing they're in the relegation zone. So that could be a key factor. They need to kick up the arse. They need to get this the ship back on the sea or on the road or whatever you want to say. They need to get back into form. They have the players to do so. They have the attacking quality to do so, but they just need to shore this defence up somehow. Jefferson Lerma is going to be missing for this game because he got sent off last week, so he's going to be a key a missed player for them next in this game. So it's not going great for Bournemouth at the minute. Things aren't really going their way luck-wise, and you need luck to stay up in the Premier League. I think they do have the quality to stay up, but whether they can get their form back on the road is a different story.
Sheffield United, the surprise team of the Premier League this season, Phil. Yeah. How much confidence will John Egan and Enda Stevens have now going into Slovakia in a potential playoff final the way they've been playing with Sheffield United?
See, the problem is the way they play with Sheffield United is they play... John Egan obviously plays in a back three. Enda Stevens plays as an out-and-out left wing-back. And also, at times, he'll tuck in because one of the other centre-halves is overlapped. So when he comes and plays for Ireland, it's completely different. And that's, I mean, I know it's a conversation for another day, but Ireland's best formation probably would be playing wing-backs because you've got two brilliant wing-backs in Enda Stevens and Matt Doherty. And I like the thoughts of Seamus Coleman in a back three with, say, John Egan and Shane Duffy. But in terms of Sheffield United, I'll be honest with you, I'll hold my hand up. I thought they were going to go down. I thought they're not going to score enough goals. Now, they haven't actually scored that many goals.
So what's the secret?
They don't give away goals. And they've only lost two games away from home this season, and that was at the Etihad and that was at Anfield. And even those games, they lost by a couple of goals, but they were in them at times. You know, they gave City and Liverpool plenty to think about. So what they're doing is unbelievable. And, you know, he doesn't change the back six, including Dean Henderson, the keeper, and then obviously his back five. They've brought in Sander Berge from Genk, the 6'5" Norwegian midfielder, who is very highly rated. He's only 21, and a lot of clubs are looking at him. And I think Sheffield United have stolen a march by getting in there before some of the other clubs. But
are you sure that's not the United under-15s goalkeeper you're talking about there? Did you see that story?
No.
So the under-15s United goalkeeper arrived in the back of a car on transfer deadline day to Old Trafford to train. And he does look similar to Sander Berge, and because Berge is so tall, the United journals were tweeting about it straight away. Sander Berge, shock. It's going to sign for Manchester United. And then 15 minutes later, apologies, it's actually the under-15s goalkeeper.
Yeah. That's how bad it's got on transfer deadline day.
He would be a goalkeeper because he's 6'5". And the Sheffield United fans, he played there last week. They already have a song about him to the sound of She's Electric from Oasis. So he's already going to become a fan favourite, but he's a very good player.
And do you have a favourite football chant? Now, this is a family show.
Favourite football chant?
Or song or anything like that?
The Henrik Larsson song for Celtic back in the day that was actually turned into a techno dance tune. I can't sing it, but it's... look it up, John. It's a great song.
Is it still played at Parkhead?
God, no. No.
And Phil?
I think what Liverpool fans have done with Gini Wijnaldum is pretty good.
What's that?
I can't remember the dance tune to it. You'd know if you heard it, but I know the song. I just can't think of the artist because it's not one that springs to mind. But even
the Ring of Fire was pretty good.
Ring of
they
Fire
did that for
was
a
good.
While.
Even going back to Celtic, I always liked the George Cadetti one.
Which one is that?
Kind of, they rhyme the Cadetti, puts the ball on the back of the netty, that kind of thing. But yeah, there's some good ones, all right.
Yeah, we're the Tottenham boys making all the noise everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we're the Tottenham boys making all the noise on the Paddy Power half hour.
It's the Ulster boys as well.
Manchester City against West Ham on Sunday, 4:30 kickoff. City 12-1 on, 10-1 the draw. West Ham 20-1. Better chances in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am than West Ham to win on Sunday. They're going to be murdered, lads, isn't it? That's going to happen, isn't it?
I don't think they'd be murdered, because I think back to a couple of seasons ago when Moyes was in charge of West Ham and they went ahead at the Etihad and they pushed City all the way. Watching the way West Ham played against Liverpool at Anfield last week, he'll go with a similar approach. He'll just basically try and take all the space away from City. City at this stage, what are they? They're probably not going to be playing at full tilt. No Raheem Sterling. And it's not a game I think City are going to, or West Ham are going to win. But I don't think they'll get hockeyed. But I'm looking at their fixtures. They're sitting in the relegation zone. They've got City away, Liverpool away. Then they've got Southampton at home. Southampton have been very impressive of late. Probably not getting the results their performances deserve. Then West Ham have Arsenal away. They've Wolves at home, Spurs away, Chelsea at home. Newcastle away is on the 11th of April. Like, you're into April there and you're trying to pick games where you think West Ham could actually win one. And it's hard to pick them.
It just sounds like they're going down, Ed.
Yeah, they've been shocking. Snodgrass has been their best player over the last couple of weeks. He wasn't really getting a look in under the previous regime. Scored a couple of goals. He's a tidy player when he gets a chance, but if you're relying on a player of the quality of Robert Snodgrass, you're not really going to progress too far in the Premier League. Their key signings haven't performed. Haller has been a complete flop for them. Felipe Anderson is too hot and cold. Brilliant player, but if West Ham get relegated, he'll be straight out of the club and sold off to another Premier League club or somewhere in Europe. So they haven't really got players that seem to be completely committed to the cause of West Ham. Aaron Creswell is probably the only one that springs to mind for me that is someone that would actually care if West Ham got relegated, except for the, like, from a professional standpoint, it doesn't seem to be to me that they've bought into any of the manager's ethos, and David Moyes hasn't inspired them to do so either. So it's a really worrying time for West Ham.
It'd be a great stadium for the Championship. They'll have the best stadium in the Championship if they go down.
Or I disagree. It's a terrible stadium.
But it's a terrible stadium in terms of
most high-tech stadium, I would say.
Biggest capacity. But, yeah, you know, when this move happened, the promise was West Ham were moving to this stadium for bigger and better things. And you think back to the night that they finished at Upton Park, or the bowling ground, whatever you want to call it, that night where they beat Manchester United and the place was rocking. And you were thinking, why are you leaving?
Well, Arsene Wenger was talking about that recently, that he said that Arsenal lost a bit of their soul when they left Highbury. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The owners are unpopular. They've got no identity with this London stadium. The fans just don't seem to have connection anymore with the club that they did at Upton Park. And as Enda was pointing out there, it's not happening, both from a managerial point of view and on the pitch. Folks, 11-10 with Paddy Power. You got to be patient in betting. You got to be patient in gambling. You got to be patient in life. Things will turn your way. Right, so this is early February. You got to wait until May to get your payday. 11-10 West Ham going down looks like the bet of the show. The bet this week is 11-10 West Ham to go down. Because I'm interested in that because it actually just brings me on to another game on Sunday in the Championship. Millwall against West Brom, 9-5 Millwall, 21-10 the draw, and West Brom top of the Championship, 6-4. Slaven Bilic was doing a great job at West Ham.
That would be quite the story if Bilic passed West Ham in the way, where he is obviously, and he's already beaten West Ham in the Cup this season. So West Brom go up to the Premier League and West Ham get relegated. It would be, there would be a slight irony in that, but they've scored plenty of goals, West Brom. That's why they're top, and they're not necessarily the best team. And I still think, footballing wise, Leeds are head and shoulders above anything in the Championship. But they're not scoring enough goals for all the chances they create. You only have to, if you don't get to see them in the Championship much, just even if you watch the Cup game against Arsenal, absolutely
the first
dominated Arsenal in the first half. And they didn't get the goal, and then they end up losing the game. But the first half, they had Arsenal in all sorts of trouble.
Can you see Leeds getting brought back into the mire of this playoff battle, Enda? There's only 3 points now between them and the spots.
They've been really lucky in the sense that West Brom's form has been terrible as well. It's gone down a hill. I don't know what's behind it. It just seems to be the... We think the Premier League is hectic. The Championship's a completely different animal.
Crazy, yeah.
And every single year, it's so exciting when it comes to promotion, relegation, playoffs, who's going to get in. And I think Leeds and West Brom, just they both have enough quality within their systems to get into the Premier League. But if Leeds do get up, they need to buy a top-quality striker because Patrick Bamford's just not going to cut it in the Premier League. He's barely cutting it in the Championship at the minute. But for me, the playoff promotion race is really interesting, much more interesting than the top two, because there's so many sides still in contention for it. Even if you go down as far as 14th,
Hull
or
I'm thinking Derby up only because Derby have a bit of history in the playoffs that if they got within a sniff of it, they might. And obviously Rooney is there now as well.
Derby are 13th at the moment,
yeah,
40 points.
10 points off the playoffs.
10 points. Can they make that up?
With 16 games left.
I think they absolutely can.
Yeah. Are they? Would you pick them as well, Enda?
I think Derby are definitely in contention of being in a playoff spot by the time of the end of the season comes. I'd love to see Brentford hold on, just because they're a really interesting story.
I'm looking at Swansea as well. Swansea have just signed Rian Brewster. He scored last week. And if you can get a striker banging in goals, they play decent football. Steve Cooper is their manager, who obviously worked with Brewster when they won England won the World Cup at under-17 level. So that's why Brewster has gone to Swansea. I wonder, could he be the game changer for them that just picks them up more points in tight games where, you know, turns draws into wins. And then you're looking at, like, Millwall are on an unbelievable run. The fact that they're in the top half of the table, and Jason Malumbi is absolutely tearing it up for Millwall. And
Derby are 40-1 to make the playoffs.
A decent enough
outsider.
Shot. Decent outsider for it, I think.
But is this a done deal? Is this a done deal? West Brom 56 points, Leeds 55, Fulham 52, Nottingham Forest, who play Leeds at the weekend, 51, Brentford 50, Bristol City 50.
I think if Forest beat Leeds tomorrow, then I worry about Leeds. But if Leeds win, I think that ends Forest. To be honest, with Forest and Lamucci, I think they're actually overachieving. I think if they actually finish in the playoffs, that'll be an unbelievable job from him. But if they were to beat Leeds tomorrow, they're only a point behind. So worst case scenario, they're just going to be a point off the automatic places. They lost last week against Birmingham, which was a bit of a surprise. But yeah, that's going to be a huge game. And they're two clubs that you almost associate with the top flight. They've got such pedigree and such history that maybe there is a bit of nostalgia crying out for Leeds and Forest to be back in the Premier League next season.
And if West Brom or Leeds, if they fall into it, who do you see is going up?
If they fall into the playoffs,
yeah.
I would give West Brom a better chance of getting through the playoffs than Leeds.
Okay,
and based on last year.
Anybody to break through into the top two?
Into the top two, I can't see. I think it is going to be West Brom and Leeds are going to get the automatic playoff or automatic promotion into the Premier League.
I'd say Fulham are maybe the only team.
Yeah, I don't think either side. I don't think any of those sides have enough quality to gain that much momentum going into the last couple of games in the league. I'd love to see the likes of, from an Irish perspective alone, just Preston, Bristol City and Millwall be in there for the playoff, because you'd have Seanan McGuire at Preston, you'd have Callum O'Dowd at Bristol, and then Jason Malumbi at Millwall as well. So from an Irish perspective, that would be great to see.
Well, the odds this weekend for these matches in the Championship tomorrow. Fulham away to Blackburn. Fulham 6-4 to win that one. Blackburn 9-5, the Dolly Partons. People were talking about that last week. It's funny. 11-5, the draw. Nottingham Forest 11-4 to beat Leeds. I thought pretty tasty price at home, but the lads have kind of indicated why that shouldn't be that way. Leeds 11-10 on, so 10-11, and then 12-5, the draw. Just to tell you about the What Odds Paddy offer this week on the show. More than three draws in the Premier League this weekend, 40-1, with West Ham going to be murdered. I think hammering the hammer is probably going to happen. They're probably a better bet that the lads have indicated, 40-1 on Derby. But an Irish player to score this weekend in the Premier League is 6-4. Maybe one of the lads of Sheffield United up for a header for a set piece.
Potentially.
Enda Stevens has scored a header this season. He scored against Norwich. Maybe Jeff Hendricks actually. Well, that'd be next week because Burnley aren't playing. But trying to think that maybe that's the only one you're looking at.
James McCarthy against his old club.
Does he celebrate if he scores?
Yes.
Aaron Connolly, maybe?
Yeah.
Aaron Connolly. Because Glenn Murray obviously signed a new deal during the week, but what was interesting was in when he was his quotes to the club website, he actually talked about the work he does in training with Aaron Connolly and Neil Mopay. It's almost like, you know, he's the senior lad, especially what he actually mentioned Connolly a few times. He's the young lad. I'm showing him. This is how it, so maybe Glenn Murray plays with Connolly and said, this is how we do it, and the two of them score.
Good news today as well, and Troy Parrott signing for Spurs, 3-year deal. It was the worst kept secret in the world, but might see him go out on a loan now in the summer.
Yeah, the fact that he signed a new deal, Tottenham want him there, but might get a loan deal now, might get a bit of first-team opportunity with someone. I know Charlton were looking for him in January, didn't really seal the deal with him, but in the summer I'd like to see him get a move to a good Championship squad, not a...
There is a slight issue with the loan, because he obviously signed his first pro contract last year. If he's at the club 2 years uninterrupted, no loan deals, he can be counted as a homegrown player. So if he goes out on loan at the start of next season, that breaks that mould and he can't become a homegrown player. So it's what Spurs want to think of that. It's if Jose Mourinho, we don't know how long Mourinho's going to be there, but if he thinks this guy it might be handy to have this guy as a homegrown player in the future, I don't know. I mean, Irish fans probably want to see him. We want to see him go out on loan. We want to see him playing football. Yeah,
well, the key thing here is he's 18 now, Phil. No longer 17, so he's allowed to play football.
Well, he was on the
according to people, he was only 17. He couldn't play football. He's only 17. He's too young. He's 18 now. He can play football.
Better the weekend is?
Oh, that's put me on the spot there. I'm going to say Watford to win against Brighton.
Ananda?
Yeah, I'd go for a Watford against Brighton win, probably over 2.5 goals in that game as well.
Watford to win against Brighton. And 11-10, West Ham going down. You collect your money in May. This has been the Paddy Power Half Hour. Thanks to Paddy Power for the sponsorship. And remember, for responsible gambling information, visit dunlewy.net. Back with the Off the Ball Football Show tomorrow. Join us then. Bye-bye.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.